What's happening, guys? Welcome to the Saber F&B podcast. All right, so we're going to dive right in today. I'm going to do hopefully a quick one. I'm thinking that, you know, as I'm going through with this, it's nice to kind of share the things that I've learned over the last few years as I've grown the company, and, you know, little tips and tricks and things that help my life easier, help make my life easier, and doing things that are a little bit more systematic and trainable. These are a few things that I'm going to go over. We utilize at our team to make things a little easier for us on site. So whether you're a caterer or a vendor or a client, and you want to see, the back end and how we keep things organized, and just little tips and tricks for your business. These are some of the things that we utilize. So up first, this is just a little form that let me share my screen real quick, that we made. Now, I don't know if on entire screen, I don't know if you guys as a business do a lot of like trade shows or marketing events or networking events. Down here in Florida, there's bridal shows where brides and grooms can come and meet vendors. And, you know, we hear all the time, like how they're not useful to a lot of vendors, and how people don't get quality leads from it. And a lot of them think it's a waste of money because they are quite expensive. A lot of these booths can be, you know, $1,000 a booth or $500 a booth, upwards to $2,000 or $3,000 a booth if you get something real big. And then also the labor that goes into it. In our case, we'd like to, you know, prepare hors d'oeuvres and things like that. So you don't want to put all this effort into an event like that to be networking and then come out, you know, dry with no leads. So, you know, as we started working them, I would say the first show we did, I probably didn't get one lead from it. We were still young. We were still trying to figure things out. I think that everything you can train a system for. And then, you know, as I worked them, I saw some other vendors that they were using like sign up sheets to get, you know, leads from their sign up sheets. And, you know, I did that for a little bit, and, you know, we're following up with the sign up sheets. We wanted a way to since we're there and we're cornering the people and we're talking to them, we don't want to waste our time on getting, you know, leads from people that just simply aren't our customer, or maybe they already have a caterer, or they're sitting at, you're doing their thing at a hotel or something. They're just not our customer. So after a couple of shows and kind of learning, you know, it's more not so just setting up something nice that people like, but how are you going to work them? How are you going to reach back out to them? So what we did is we created this sign up sheet. Originally, this was put out on the table and people can walk by and sign up, saying they saw us, they're interested, or whatever. But what we learned is that people are so excited at these shows that everybody signs up. So everybody signs up not knowing answers to any questions, or not knowing whether they can even use an outside caterer. So what we did is, instead of letting just anybody sign up, is I have my staff there and we just spark a small conversation. And we go very systematically through, because some of the events, there could be upwards of 1,000, 2,000 people there, and you're definitely not going to be able to get through them all. So being able to identify who's actually a client of yours is a must. And it's a game changer as far as getting good leads to become actual events. So what we do is we start off a conversation, you know, very friendly, of course. You know, somebody's getting married, who's getting married, you know, you guys planning a wedding, something along those lines, to give you a little warm entry into a conversation. And then real quickly, we want to know, have you picked a venue yet? And then if they have picked a venue and we're familiar with it, great. If they picked a venue and we're not familiar with it, our next question is always, well, do they allow outside caterers, outside vendors? Are you allowed to bring food outside versus in clubhouses and golf clubs and hotels? Clearly they don't allow it. They have it on site. So we find out if we can even use them. If they say, no, sorry, we can't have outside caterers, you say, no problem. You know, try a few samples. We wish you the best of luck. But we also do rehearsal dinners or day after wedding brunches. I know that a lot of times that family comes in town, and sometimes we don't think about doing something nice for them for your wedding. And we try to pitch them on something else because we already know they can't use us for their wedding. So, and then obviously if it's out of town, you know, they can't use us. So we do that so that we can kind of vet them, because there's so many people to get to that if we're not wasting our time, but if we're wasting our time speaking with somebody that's not our customer, then we're not able to get to the people that are our customer or can be our customers. And we want to try to focus on those people. Again, this is a trade show. It's all, you know, ad spend, it's all marketing. And it costs money for you to be there. So the last thing you want to do is spend all this money and not be able to make some of that back by actually booking an event. If they are not our customer, we say, try some samples. Best of luck to you. You know, we're so happy for you. Congratulations. And then we're on to the next person. And we follow that. Now, if they can use us they are a candidate, then the next date is, you know, or the next info is, you know, what's your event date? Is it coming up soon? Have you booked the caterer yet? And then once you've asked them these four or five questions, you just follow up. Would you like us to reach back out to you? You know, we're trying to get, you know, we usually follow up a week after. And if they say yes, at that time, we write them down on our sheet. And this is the sheet we made, very basic: name, wedding date, phone number, email address. And this is just something that when we come back from that event the following Monday or whatever, we have a list of people that we know we talked to, that they are potential clients, and that we told them that we would reach out. Now, when I'm at these shows, I always tell them, if you don't want to wait for us to reach out, which could take a few days or a week or so, you can always go to our website and say, hey, we saw you at the show. We signed the roster. We would like to get a proposal and reach us out to us that way. So when you're working these events, you want to make it as easy as you can for the potential client, but you don't want to waste your time on a bunch of people that just are not. Because as an outside caterer for us, there's a ton of people that are just not our customer, just simply because they're either out of town or they're at a venue that provides the catering themselves. And to those people, we offer day after wedding, you know, catering, or day before wedding catering, and we move on to the potential client. So this form is really, really good just to have, and it's a very rudimentary thing. And, you know, now for the bigger events, it's not uncommon for us to pull 5-7 events off of each of these wedding shows. Obviously the bigger ones, there's some smaller wedding shows, only like a couple hundred people. And even on those, we'll pull at least two or three, you know, one event will pay for us being there. Two events, a blessing. Anything more than that, it just means that, you know, our system is working. So that's just one of our things that we do for my team. And then now it's also trainable, so that if I'm not at the event, they can go with this form. They know the spiel. I also have kind of like a template of things to say, because you're kind of rusty in the morning. And when you're rusty in the morning, it doesn't come out as smooth. It's a template you can read through a couple times. Then after that, you're off to the races, and you know, you've memorized it, and you know what questions to ask and who's our clients. So big help. When you're doing the wedding shows, you definitely need to go in organized, and don't just think that sitting behind your booth that's decorated, that people are just going to come flock to you and want to book your services. You want to go about it in a systematic way. So that's the signup roster. This is something for us in the office. Now, when I first started, it was just me. So I kind of figured out what I needed to ask people. And I have a catering program, and typically I try to go through the catering program in order to see, you know, to ask them what they need and where it's at and all the pertinent questions. But as I grew and I needed some help, it was not everybody has that just knowledge in their head on what to ask people. So what I do for new people that are starting in the office is I have this little form, the sheet for them, and it's just a cheat sheet for them to be able to get used to what to ask a potential customer that calls in. So, and what I did is I just went right down my program to make sure I get all the pertinent information, because the more information you can get on the front end, a lot easier it is going to be to build the proposal and to give them something that's more aligned with what they're looking for, should they have all the details. So obviously, we got to get the date and time in there, the name of the contact, email and phone number, all their contact info, type of event, because again, we're not just weddings. We're basically anything where you need food, service, alcohol, you know, cocktail parties. We're in people's home doing private chef dinners and anniversaries, and there's a ton of stuff. So we like to know what we're getting into. So type of event, where it's located, approximate number of people, and then any food preferences if they have them, any beverage needs or rental needs if they have them. And this, if you're on the phone returning five or six calls, you get used to filling this out so fast that after a few weeks, you don't even need this form anymore. You can just use, you know, a pad and paper. And that's what I do when I'm on the phones, but I'm really not on the phones that much anymore. But this is a good cheat sheet if you're trying to train staff to take over and help you in that proposal process to at least get the info for people. This is a good stepping stone to have when you're building your catering business, or really any business. I mean, this could be used for all sorts of vendors or any service-based business. You just need to give your staff some sort of template that they can work off of. And then from there, they're going to figure out their own flow, how they speak it. But as long as they get this information, they have enough info to actually put a proposal together. So that's that call format script. And now, you know, these are, and I'm just going to fly through these because there's not that many, but these little things save so much time in your proposal process, whether you haven't booked them or after you book them. And having little tools that you can send to the people, you, in my opinion, the more I've helped people, the better, the more people tend to come back and use our services again, because we're willing to give them more info than necessarily what pertains to us. So a lot of people, they get their own rentals and they don't get them through us. So if they are getting their linens and their napkins and their tables and all of that, we send them this little guide, and you can find them anywhere on the internet, but it's just another nice little tool to send people, just to, because the last thing you want to do is let them do the linens and let them do the rentals and then show up and you're not taken care of. And you can see, you know, the linens don't go to the ground and all of that. You want it to still look nice, even though they took care of these rentals, if that's what they want. So this is just a little table guide for different kinds of tables and different kinds of linens that go on the tables, whether they're half height or all the way to the floor. We prefer to the floor because we don't want to see like the ugly, fold out metal legs and stuff. So a real quick tool, you can send that out to them so they can order accurate linens, because linens can be a little daunting at the beginning. You don't know what size. There's a ton of different sizes for different kinds of tables. So it's a good little cheat sheet to be able to send to them. All right. Next up is, this is a sample, because when you're booking, you're going to run into little things that if, how do I say this? So if they're working with you and you're the caterer and you're not the planner, and there are certain things that you'll know to ask to make the event go smoother. If they're not working with you and they're working with a planner, or they're trying to plan it out themselves, a lot of people think, okay, well, they should just be able to take care of it. But a lot of people haven't done this before. And to save you time and headache on site, walking into something that you would assume that they should take care of, you should just guide them and help them through the process. Because even though it's a little bit more time on something that maybe they didn't necessarily pay you for during the planning process, having it done right is going to make you look better, because you were that resource to make their event go much more smooth. So when we do plated meals, we are very specific on what we need and what the criteria is for a plated meal. If they get a dual entree and everybody gets the same, not that big of a deal. But if they get a single entree where they actually get to choose their protein on that, then we have stipulations. And those stipulations are, we need a floor plan of like a diagram of the all where all the tables are and all the chairs are. And then we need a detailed like order list. So the table numbers and the table where those tables are that are numbered, and for whatever reason, they're never in order. And then where every entree is sat at any given table. So what this is like, this is just a basic floor plan of just an imaginary place to give them an idea of what it's supposed to look like. And then down here is an example of the table numbers and what is associated to that table. So we always start with a bride and groom on a plated, you know, assuming bride got chicken, groom got beef. And then from there, each table needs to give us the exact amount of dishes at that table, which is, you know, table one example was 3 chicken, 3 beef, and 2 vegetarian meals. So we need something like this from the client so that when we're on site, we're not walking up to tables and going, who got chicken? Who got beef? It's super tacky. And it's just not a way that we like to present. So, and then another thing that's missing from this is actually like seat numbers. Now, We also require them to put some sort of signifier on the seat numbers. So a lot of them will have, if it's got to be assigned seating for a plated meal like this, and they'll have name cards. And on those name cards or on the place setting or something, there has to be some sort of signifier on that table setting that's is associated with the meal that they choose. So we've had everything from, you know, a little picture of a fish and a little picture of a cow and a little picture of a chicken to, you know, jewels glued on them, you know, red's beef, yellow's chicken, blue's fish. We've had different color plates or napkins. There's been a lot of different things, but we have to have some sort of signifier. And that's just so my staff, without knowing, can walk up to the table and set the dish down in front of them that they ordered. Because another thing is that when you do a single entree where they can choose, sometimes people sit at the table and go, "Ooh, that looks good. I should have got that." And if there is no signifier, a lot of times people will just straight up change their mind, or they forget or something. And that messes up our count. Because again, since we're outside caterers, we're not exactly like making these dishes to order. It's like there's 100 people and they all got to get fed and put everything down in 15 or 20 minutes. So, you know, if the count's off and then we're over and somebody that actually did order it doesn't get it, we don't want to open that up. Keeping your clients like really organized through the process sometimes at the beginning seems a little bit daunting, but as you get going, it's just confirming to them that they hired the right person that's going to make sure their events go super smooth. So this is just a generic example that we send to the client. We need something like this so that we can do your plated meal efficiently. And again, here's another example. So we have our full liquor license, so we can offer beverages and we can offer liquor and cocktails and stuff. But there are tons of people that just want service and they want to provide their own beverages. So, and this is just one of those things too. When somebody does this, you know, for us, we guarantee you're going to be taken care of. But if somebody else does this and they're doing it on their own and they don't have a planner, or maybe they do have a planner, but you know, they don't show them this. This is a super generic example of what kind of we would pack per 50 people. There's nuance here, and there's always going to be situations where you know your guests better than we do. For example, we send this because this is tried and true, and this is just a shopping list for their liquors and how much they would need to be able to serve everybody without running out of anything. So, and this is only assuming that they do a full bar. If they're doing just beer and wine or just signature drinks, obviously this list doesn't pertain to them, but it still is something that helps us on site too, because it makes sure that the customer's prepped and ready to go. So we come on site, we can just come and do our job and everybody's happy. The last thing we want is them to take care of it, and then halfway through we're running out of ice or running out of liquors or running out of wines. And then you don't want to go to the customer and be like, "Hey, you know, we're out of a bunch of stuff." It's just, you know, trying to make the event smooth from the get-go. So, and then another thing too, is if they're handling the bar disposables, because everybody's budget is different and obviously it's always going to be more cost-effective for them to take care of it. But on the flip side, we don't want our service to suffer because they didn't get enough products. So we even put like disposables for every 50 people, it's 200 cups minimum. And a lot of times we go through even more than that. If you have a beverage station or something, you know, a lot of people just get some water and throw it away. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to go through 1,000 cups or more on an event, even if it's only like 100 to 200 people. So this is just a generic thing to give them some sort of shopping list for their bar. And then we always suggest people go to Total Wine or Costco, because they'll take the unopened bottles back. So then they're not afraid of, you know, over purchasing, because they can take even like the cases. If you buy like a case of wine, you could take like 6 bottles back as long as they're not open and they're still in good quality. Another cool tool, or another little simple thing. And a lot of this stuff is simple and it seems like common sense, but taking the time to actually send it to them, just, it's going to help you in the long run. Less headache on site. You don't want to deal with this stuff day of. You want to make sure that your events are, you know, ready to go. All right. So internally, this is for us, and this is going to mainly be just for the caterers out there. This list is, they had a generic list on Webstaurant, you can see down here, and I was able to get it in and modify it. There was a ton of stuff that we would never use on it. It was more than we would ever need. So this is a list for our packing. So I have an equipment manager and they do all of our cleaning of the vans, unpacking the vans in the beginning of the week, getting them cleaned out, making sure all of our equipment inside is clean and plates are clean and put away and organized. And then on the flip side, to pack the stuff for the upcoming parties. So every BEO that gets printed out, banquet event order, like basically a list of all the stuff that's ordered for the party, each party gets one of those, and then each party gets one of these. And why have it set up with two separate columns? Obviously, you have to put all the info on top about the event, but why have this set up in two different columns is because one, in a perfect scenario, and we don't do it anymore because I used to have two people that would handle this, but in a perfect scenario, if you have two people, you have one person to write the list, and then you have one person to pack. And why it's good to have those two people separate is because it gives you two sets of eyes on the party, and then they theoretically, hopefully, would catch the things that maybe got missed. But either way, you do it separately. So you put the quantity needed for all this stuff. I put to my staff on some of this stuff because it's going to be on every single party. So every single party is going to get water pitchers and cocktail napkins and dinner napkins, gloves for the back of the house, serving and clearing trays. Those are all things that are going to be on every party. So I just snuck a duh in there because if we do forget something like that, it's a duh moment and it shouldn't happen. So they'll go through and make all this. I left some blank spaces in here so that if there are certain things not on this list or there's custom requests of stuff that we don't typically use all the time, that they can be written in and the quantity can be put in. And this helped our parties immensely. Modify it here and there, but now we've been running with this list for, I guess this is our third busy season. So most of the stuff that we need is on there. And this really got rid of, you know, the getting on site and wondering if it's there, because this sheet isn't just filled out, it's also sent on party. So if there was, like, we have leads, some people have, like, you know, banquet captains or whatever. So our leads are responsible for taking the vans to the event and running the staff. And, you know, they're the ones in charge, and they have a copy of the BEO and they have a copy of this. And on this, if they're missing something, they can come and double check, was it written on the list? And then they can double check once it got packed and put on the van, because everything that's filled in the bubbles here, those are actually packed and put on the van. So once those are done, it's checked off, and then they can look and say, oh, you know, this was written, but it wasn't checked off. So it's, chances are it's not there. You know, obviously it's not a big deal to text our equipment manager or something, because they should have really done it in the first place. So if they get a late text, where is this item? It's warranted because they forgot something. Yeah. So the people on site know if whoever packed it, they checked it off and said it was in the van. So if it's checked off, it should be in there. And it's just it's always good to try to be as organized as possible. And there's no way anybody can remember all of the things that have to go in the event. So this just took care of so many things for us, and it shouldn't have taken so long for us to figure it out. So this is our catering list. And then I think this is the last one. So this is something that I like, trainable systems. So at the beginning, it was just me. And I was doing the cooking, I was doing the calling, I was doing the emails, I was doing the pickups, I was, you know, doing the driving, I was doing the packing, I was doing everything. As we got busier and I started needing more help, it got harder to control, right? So, you know, I'm a chef. I'm not, you know, at the time I wasn't like business owner or any of that stuff. So for me to figure out how to train people, like the things that were in my head all the time, it got too hard, because I've been running like kitchens and stuff in restaurants and people, you know, since I was 19 years old. So I have a pretty good way of how I organize things and like organize my team and all of that in here. So for me, when I have a lead go out on site and there's, say there's only like five or six staff, generally it's pretty easy to say, you know, you're on passing hors d'oeuvres, or you're, you know, helping with the buffet or whatever. But as we started getting more bigger events where we have 10, 15, 20, or 40 staff members on site, then it's like, how do I train a lead who's, even if they've been managers at restaurant and stuff, how do I train them to kind of guide this team of this sea of 20 staff people that show up on event and maybe not, most of them maybe don't work full time with us, right? Because staffing for catering companies, a lot of people are part time. So what I did is I tried to put what's in my head onto a piece of paper as simple as possible, and make it as neat as possible. Because when I'm running a party, I think of the party in basically like three blocks, right? We have our setup time from when we get to the party and we set up all our stuff. If it's a buffet, we set up the buffet or the bar. You know, if it's a cocktail party in someone's house, we got to put the oven on, and there's just things that we have to do. So even though there's not like exact tasks on this, I have something else I can show you after this. I gotta find it real quick. Even though there's not exact tasks on here, this basically organizes the people that are there. So what I do for the leads is I have the leads, when they get on site, to fill out this staff on site part first, which is on the right-hand side. And that's going to be a list of every staff person that's working that event. So we use an app called Homebase to actually schedule the event, but and it will tell them whether they're bartending or serving or whatever. But once they get on site, everybody needs tasks to do. So what we do is we fill out this form. The lead will just fill it out, and then of everybody on there. And then on the left-hand side, it says pre-shift setup notes. And we always do a pre-shift meeting once the server goes in, because we have kind of like a standard operating procedure on that, which, you know what, I'm going to do that on my next podcast. But the standard operating procedure is the lead goes on site, they get with the planner or the customer or the owner of the home, they get kind of a lay of the land, where everything's going, where we can put our stuff, where we can set up, and then they come out and do a pre-shift. And on that pre-shift, they're going to assign people from that master list to their duties. So they're going to put someone on buffet, someone on dining room, someone in the back kitchen area, someone on bar. And now they know how many people are in one of these things. Like, it's not going to take three people to set up a buffet, but it's going to take one or two. So they'll put someone that does that. And generally we put people on things. Once they work a few parties, we know what they're good at. We know what they're doing, but this is pre-shift. So at the pre-shift meeting, they're going to tell everybody, okay, you're so-and-so is going to go on a buffet. You know, you three or four, if we have to set up like a large dining room with plates and flatware and all that, napkins, you know, you three or four are going to be on, you know, the dining room area. And then if it's a smaller party, they don't really have to sign people to the back kitchen, because the chef's always going to be there. But if they have extra people or it is something bigger, it's always good to give the chef an extra hand just to help them get organized and stuff. So then they would assign them to the back kitchen. And obviously the bartenders would take priority in setting up their bar. And then I leave notes just in case, you know, somebody like a client says, okay, well, they want the buffet in, you know, the back patio area next to the pool, you know, something like that. So the notes are there for that. And that's pre-shift. And then once pre-shift's over, in that time, the lead, once everybody's out doing their tasks, will assign the rest of the night, you know, what they're going to do for the rest of the night. Their job is, once they get on site, to get everybody started and setting up. And then once everybody's started and doing that, then they go through and reassign the same people into the next block, which in my head would be, you know, service. So whether it's cocktail hour, dinner, whatever kind of event you're doing. So before service, you'd have another meeting after setup. And at that meeting, you're going to assign those people to what they're going to be doing for the rest of the night. So you're going to assign people to pass, which would be past hors d'oeuvres. You're going to assign people to clearing, which is clearing debris and trash from people's tables. Back kitchen area to assist the chef if they need it. Water pour and finishing touches. Those are going to be people that are going to go out like the last 15, 20 minutes before dinner, after a cocktail hour starts. And they're actually going to go and, you know, do the water pour for everybody. They're going to make sure the buffet sternos are lit. They're going to make sure, you know, everybody's set and there's nothing, you know, all the little details are taken care of. And then the bar people, obviously you would set the bartenders just at bar through the whole process. You wouldn't switch people up. At least we wouldn't. And then buffet, for dinner would be for if people are serving the buffet. So buffet setup is a lot different than buffet serving or buffet during cocktail hour and dinner. And that is they're responsible for loading the buffet, serving, keeping it clean, make sure plates are on there. That is their only responsibility. Food running would be people going to the hot boxes, replenishing the buffet, or plated staff would be serving the plated to the, which is a totally another, you know, totally other animal. But the food runners would be taking plates at the tables where people can set them down. And then after, and then during that same meeting, we would tell the people what they're doing after dinner too, because the last thing you need to do during an event is to keep reminding people all night. And then this sheet's filled out too, so nobody can forget. So if anybody forgets, the lead has a sheet already filled out and they say, oh, I assigned you to this. Not a big deal. It happens. So then after dinner, you would assign people to doing, somebody needs to be doing dishes. Somebody needs to be doing clearing, which, you know, at that time, if they're getting real stuff, all those, real plates and flatware need to come off the tables back to the people doing dishes, because we also clean everything on site. And then cleaning the back kitchen. A lot of times that's the chef and then like one or two other people. And then the bar, again, the bar people are going to be it. So this is just my way of when I was managing everybody. This is what I just did in my head. And I didn't have this sheet, but sometimes I would still even write it down, because also, like, say you get tips and tips are pooled for us. You'll have a sheet next to everybody so you can count up how many staff people you have without wrangling everybody to the back for another meeting. It helps train new leads and it helps existing leads keep their people organized in their head. If it's a really big party and there's like 20 or 30 staff people, typically I'll put people in teams and then they have like their team, you know, people with them all night doing the same things. But this just helps keep it, everybody organized, keep the lead not scratching their brains out or wondering why they assign someone to do dishes, but they're out on the floor clearing and nobody's doing dishes, but then they can't remember if they assigned them to do dishes. There's just a lot of stuff going on. So having this hard copy, it takes 5 minutes to fill out, but it just helps the whole night be so much more organized. So if you have a catering business, get some sort of form like this, because it's just going to change. And then make sure that they fill them out. So I also make them give me these sheets after. So they leave, and I don't really look at them that much, but I make sure they're there so that I can make sure that they're actually filling them out. So have a sheet like this. So what I was going to show you that I didn't pull up is procedures. And if you don't have something like this either, you really need to spend, and some of this stuff takes days or weeks to figure out, but there we go. Come on, it's going to take a second. All right. Having some sort of procedures with your staff is going to be what sets you apart from being able to scale your business. There's only so much someone can do on their own. And as you grow, not everybody is going to always be on the same wavelength as you. And almost none of the time they will be. So when you saw before where it had all those roles where people were like buffet, back of the house, kitchen, all that, I actually have these on every work van. They don't get, you know, I guess, read that often, but they also, when we hire on new people, it's also in a packet that says, hey, if they've never catered, they can see exactly how catering is done. And I'm going to go through this on another podcast, but in a nutshell, this is a role description. So people that work back of the house, all of their duties, people that work bar, their duties, dining, their duties, people that are on buffet, their duties, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is kind of like our procedures list for like our how we do everything. I have procedures for the event, like what happens earlier when I said, you know, the lead gets to the site and then makes contact with the planner or the guest or the owner, and then they come back. I mean, all that's in here: lead to greet clients, pre-shift meeting, unload vehicle entirely. Like, everything's mapped out so that later, as we grow even more, I can have leads go through this and the new people coming in have the expectation to know what's going on. I have truck and trailer procedures for when, cause we have two trailer setups, things that need to be happen. Do it. And it also puts accountability on your staff too. So even though you would probably do all this stuff, the goal is to have a business that can run if you get hurt or sick or whatever. The whole point of this you know, at least for me, is I want to build something sustainable and allow my team to grow with me. And my team can't grow with me unless I give them responsibilities, but I can't give them responsibilities unless they're trained properly. And for me, I try to train them to do things better than I would do it, because that's the whole point, right? Is to make things better as you go. So, lead duties, staff member duties, pre-shifts, these are all things that happen in any given night. And there are some things that maybe, you know, cause I wrote this like probably like a year ago or 2 years ago, that we've added. But in a nutshell, anybody should be able to read this, know what position they're doing, and know what their responsibility for that position is, and know kind of what the general flow of an event is. Cause if you've never catered before, you don't necessarily know that there's a criteria for like not just walking in someone's house, you know, when you're working at it, or walking around and talking. Like if someone's never worked the catering and is not the lead, it doesn't make sense for a random staff member to walk around with the planner and not know what's going on. And then the lead comes and doesn't really know what's going on. So having procedures for everything just helps. And I'm going to do another podcast on this, really diving in deep to our procedures and see if we can help, you know, some people that maybe feel disorganized or feel like their caterings are getting away from them, or because the whole goal is what I tell my staff is that for the customer experience, it's going to always be good. That's the given. It has to be good. But there's no reason why it can't also be good for us, for the staff. You know, if the customer is always going to have a good time and be happy, then we need to figure out how to be organized and not running around crazy and have that same feeling ourselves. If we're doing 100, 200 events a year or more, there's no reason why we can't be so polished that it's, you know, just another day at work and we're not sweating and running and forgetting things. And we should have a nice procedure that maybe takes a little bit of getting used to, but once we're used to it, you know, things go real smooth and, you know, it shouldn't be an issue whether we're doing a wedding for 50 people or a wedding for 400. It should be the same exact procedure, just more staff and more people. That's kind of a look into what I'm doing. I hope this helped you guys. If you have any ideas or how to make anything better, or if you guys want copies of some of this stuff, just reach out. I'm all for helping people. I think there's enough business out there for everybody. I think that, you know, if I'm in a position to help somebody and I have time and somebody can take value from this, this stuff would have helped me. You know, some of this stuff took me a few years to get down. If I could speed up that process for some other people, just reach out and let me know. And other than that, thanks for listening, guys. Have a great day.